So how do you know when it's recording? When you push it once and it, the light, the
The digit starts
counting. Oh, I see the light by the little button. Okay. All righty, here we go. Today is our regular monthly meeting for the Naco School Governing Board, November 5th, 2019, 5:15. Both our administrator and business manager are present, and all board members are present. Item 1A, call to order and the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item B, adoption of the agenda. I'd like to move to adopt the agenda for the meeting of November 5th.
I'll second that.
Mr. Olmos seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Item 2, call to the public. Negative. Okay, no one in calls to the public, so we're moving on to item 3, the consent agenda. Approve of the minutes. The first one, item A, October 15th, 2019, the morning meeting we had. I don't have anything that I'd need to consider changing, so what do you guys think?
I don't have anything.
I think we just have that one item.
It was just the AFR. What about it?
Do you just have any language on the... on the word.
Get it typed right.
Oh, okay.
And I think we all had our... We all voted unanimously on it, so we don't really have anything there, huh? Mm-hmm. Okay. So pertaining to October 15th, we're good with that language. So, and I'll just go... We'll do all the consent agenda at the same time, if that's okay with you guys. And then the October 15th, the evening meeting, and that one was... business that we had of a timely manner, the AFR, and no, that's the wrong one. That's the opposite, right? So the other one was the one that we had our financial report and the vouchers and the volunteer list and the substitute addition. So do we have anything on that?
No.
Okay. So move on to the next item. The presentation of the October financial report, Ms. Donna Horton.
I noticed an addition error on that, or a typo error since the printing of this. If you want to make changes on the numbers, I've got them ready for you. If you want to make changes on that.
Are we talking about vouchers? Or?
No, the expense report, that one-page expense report.
Okay. So I think the vouchers are kind of mixed in with the...
Which one page is on top?
One page. I went through these one page at a time, of course. Okay, I'm looking here. Well, see, I went through all these one line by another, so I got it out of order, apparently. Oh, okay. Thank you. You don't have to wait for me here. Okay, thank you. So what's our typo?
Well, the typo was the 404-088-10. It should be 40,488-10.
Oh, instead of 404,000?
Yeah, so it should be taken out of extra.
Just move that last 4 in that 404?
Yeah, it's 40,488-10.
So it removes a zero.
Mm-hmm.
So 44. $360,000
on that.
88, 10.
Oh, we didn't spend 360. I like that.
Okay, gotcha. That's a big difference.
Remove that zero up to that 4.
Okay. So you guys want to go through this page by page? Do you have any questions about all this?
No.
No? So I'm going to save this for Tim. There's a couple questions I have, so I'll try not to drag this on forever, but let me... I had him dog-eared here. Uh, So the disposal services that came to, let's see what page am I on, page 5. The disposal services, the amount was $844.69. Then with the invoice, the vendor, and the total was $24,870. Okay. Disposal of what?
Those are usually garbage pickups. I'm trying to find which voucher
you're on. We paid $24,000 for that?
At the very top of the page, it says voucher batch number. Do you know what page number that
is? Voucher batch number 2010.
Okay. Let's see, $844.69. The grand total is $24,000 of the whole voucher.
Right.
That's all, the grand total is $24,000, but we pay $834 for a garbage pickup.
Per quarter?
Monthly.
Mm-hmm. And so we come over the $24,000. Is that?
That's the grand total of the entire voucher.
Okay.
The first 6 pages.
Okay. Alrighty. Services regarding the IRS CY 2018 and CY 2019 not to exceed $10,000. That's Heinfield, right? That says Heinfield right on it. So that's what our came out of the 15 that we approved, probably. And this is voucher batch number 2011. So that out of that $15,000, that's what we used up as the $7,000. Okay. So we still have some money left over from that, apparently.
Actually, both of the Heinfield ones we required to the other one that we approved, we are at
right.
56, and we had approved 12,000.
So. And so it'd be the next page, too. That's also in related to that same thing. And not to exceed the IRS from not to exceed 15,000. That's just an additional 7,169 and 5,128. That's all from that same money that we approved, right? Okay. And I found saw our textbooks. I understand that. So the that's for the copier and machine thing.
One thing I've gotten some questions on, just so you guys know if anybody asks you, we're trying to cut down on the watering a little bit. Mm-hmm. We had that 1 month at the beginning of the year that we had a $1,700 bill, which was crazy, the water fields and things. So we're trying to cut down to watering them twice a week instead of, so they look a little less green right now, but our budget was kind of shot in that 1 month.
I don't see Naka Water. They're having a serious problem anyway because they're transporting water from another well and putting it down that well.
Oh, okay.
And so it's been kind of a problem.
I know it's very spendy.
So the other one I had was actually related to homeschooling some, the one like 20 Mead spiral notebooks. For $165, doesn't that seem like a lot of money for 20 spiral notebooks? I'm looking at voucher batch number 2012.
Okay. And
it says 20. There's 20 of them, and which comes to about $8 a piece.
It might have been in a package. I think that's what it was. There was a package of like 8 or 10 in a package.
Right.
So it brought the cost down even more.
I just thought $165, the total price, I guess, was, because with the erasers, it was like $244. I'm just curious about that. So the next one would be the batch number 2012 also, right after that one. The Confessional of a Homeschooler. What is that?
I'm sorry, which?
Is that, I don't believe that's oh, that's Ms. Mott?
That
oh, okay. Is that...
Wasn't it?
No, it doesn't say library. It wasn't for the library. It says undesignated.
I remember that. That was the...
So I'm just curious if we...
Yeah.
Oh,
I know we purchased homeschool things for some people that do homeschooling.
Oh, I was actually for our kindergarten.
Oh, okay.
We didn't have a set of.
Okay, and then the next one I have is, would be page 7 of the 2012 batch, replacing the door outside of the library going into the courtyard at almost $2,000.
Yeah, it was the entire everything, the hinges, the whole thing. It's plus fixing the locks. It was, everything had to be done. We could have fixed just to have them fix the lock and try to adjust the locks, and they were going to charge us $700 or $800 for that. So it was to do that, and then you've still got the issues with the door and everything's, or they put a whole new everything in.
Right.
So we just haven't got a payment yet.
So we're probably not going to have a lot of those doors replaced. If so, we need to go put them out for a bid if we do.
Right.
Because at $2,000 a door.
Exactly. Well, that and all of our, you know, if you think back to all of the HVAC issues we've had this year and everything, we have to put everything out for bid. That's something that you'll see, you know, in our cap that we have is everything needs to go out for bid. And we ask them to hold everything. So.
Okay.
So the whole door was replaced?
See, Stan Millworks, it's kind of expensive.
Well, and it was, I mean, I'm just going to say from all the doors, and I'm not a construction guy, but it was a weird thing because when we took one at the top hinge and the bottom hinge are both loose posts, there was a little small piece of wood or something behind them that they screwed into. And so then when that hinge came loose, tried to take them out so we could replace the hinge, and then the wood fell. So, I mean, it was...
It's just like a necessity at this
point. It was just different. I mean, you've got a steel door, and you've got a little piece of wood behind it that's, you know, a quarter of an inch that helping hold. I mean, it was, I don't know.
So I found my paper that I had that you lend me yours.
Okay.
And so we have that difference of the $44,088. But so technically the expense total on that voucher is $494,707. So does that mean that knocks that number down, or is that not including the typo?
No, the number at the bottom, the year-to-date number, is 1,043,555.23.
Isn't it 1,407,000?
No, that includes that 400,000.
Oh.
That was the type of line.
Okay. And then that includes the SPED also?
Yeah.
And the food service? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. All righty. So, sorry I had to, autopsy that whole thing. I just, curiosity more than anything on some of those. So, that's the financial report. Thank you, Ms. Donna. And next you're going to the approval. Oh, that's the October vouchers. Those were included in that. And then approval of the 2019-2020 edition of the volunteer list of Elizabeth Vargas and Jocelyn Vanegas.
Yeah. Mrs. Vargas is a mother of in a classroom that would like to be able to come and help out when she has her days off on Fridays. I guess Fridays.
That's not my mom. You did my mom last night.
Oh, sorry. Wrong mother. I think it's Fridays. It's one day a week. She doesn't work. I think it's Friday. I think it's third grade. No, fourth grade, maybe. I got to double check that. But she asked about that. And then Jocelyn is a former student of ours who is going to Cochise College. She's going into psychology. And they have a work-study program for tutoring, and the lady who runs the program there is from Bisbee, so Jocelyn had asked if she could come back here, so she called me to check last Wednesday, and so I said I would put it on the board agenda, and as long as you approve it, she will be here tomorrow morning. She will work Wednesday and Friday mornings, and or Monday and Wednesday mornings and Friday all day. So if we have the 1 o'clock day or the 3 o'clock day, she would be here for the whole time. And she's I went around and asked some teachers, and nobody said no, for amazingly. So I think I have her in about 4 different classrooms during her time with us. So
okay, great.
She's a good student, an honor roll student over there, and she was here, and everybody that I asked had good things to say about her and her work ethic. So I figured it was a, get in. Maybe we'll get lucky and she'll go into education and come back.
Great. Okay, thank you.
And just those two?
Just those two okay. So far.
The one person that's been helping with mowing grass, doesn't. We're not going to include that person in the list, right?
Last one we did was...
We can, because, but we was going to leave, so that's why I didn't put him on.
I'd rather not.
You'd rather not put him on here?
No.
Okay, all right.
So who are you talking
about? I don't want to mention any names.
Oh, okay. So it's a non-issue because he's not on there. He's not volunteering is the point, though.
Yeah.
Right, he's not volunteering yet.
Okay.
So it's just somebody that will...
I thought we had approved before I got here, because when he first came, one of the first few weeks, he was here helping.
And how are you aware of it?
I don't believe it.
Just curiosity.
Send us that email.
Yeah, we got a...
I shot you guys all in that
email. Okay. Okay, great. Okay. So we're good then? With the volunteer list?
Yeah.
Okay, so do you guys have any... I'm going to go ahead and do a consent agenda all at one time, unless you have any other questions pertaining to any of those items. Okay, so for item three, the... approval of A, B, C, and D. I'd like to move that we approve all those items on the consent agenda.
I'll second it.
Mr. Elmo's seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Great. Okay. This is mine. This is Tim's. Okay. So, action items. A, presentation discussion of second reading of proposed policy changes recommended by ASBA. These proposed changes are all good for our district and in line with the other policies we now maintain. Ms. Horton has a copy of the proposed changes if you need to look at any specific policy change for discussion. Now, this is our second reading, so we'll be making a decision on that tonight.
And I wasn't sure if I was going to be here or not, so I made sure that I had a copy.
That's okay.
Just in case. Did anybody have any questions on that? I went through and I looked at it. It's very difficult to, when you can't look at it online, to see if it looks like ours were lined up with what they had. And the changes that they are suggesting, honestly, are not, I don't feel they're controversial at all. They're pretty much straightforward changes. So unless you guys have any questions on that.
I really didn't have any problem with them. A lot of times they recommend that we go ahead and adopt the things handed down from the state because it's their recommendation. But sometimes we do modify it because we're a smaller school,
right.
But I don't really have any issues with any of the changes myself.
I didn't see situations where they had specific numbers or anything like that. So, and they do go through their legal, so I know that they've been tested. So it's not like we need to call our legal to ask about it. Only would we do that if we were going to change numbers or something, if there's a specific thing to worry about to make sure we had everything covered. So I didn't see anything like that, but I never, when you read it, you read it in your vein, and if somebody else reads it, they might have questions. So.
Right. And that's why it's good to have a first reading anyway, so, and then we have time to look at it all. Do you all have any questions pertaining to the proposed policy changes by the state? Mm-hmm. I'm making a motion.
Yeah, so I'll make a motion to approve item A under action items.
Second the motion.
Ayes.
Aye.
Aye.
Item B, presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding the teacher approval. Approved 301 plan. We need to approve three changes to the plan. The plan did not include which 301 funds, 2 and 3, which would come from, and it should be for state clarification, and also in the plan on page 1, the term satisfactory must agree with the term on teacher's evaluation, so the word is being changed to effective. The changes are highlighted.
And I tried to get around and talk to every teacher, and I also told them if they had questions or had a problem with what we were suggesting, because I grabbed Mrs. Torres right away, and so that's how we came to those three changes that were pretty easy to figure out, and every teacher was fine with it. Did you get any complaints? No. Okay, I told them if they had any complaints to file them with Mrs. Torres. So.
All the teachers unanimously agreed that that was the best thing to do.
Right.
Okay.
It was asked to delete out the plans, and it has to match up to the R.
Yeah, and so when it says satisfactory, ours says effective. So, That was the way we lined it up. And then the funds, we should have just put them in. I missed it too. I didn't even think about it because it said Fund 11 on the first part, and then the next two payments or portions, divisions of it should have said Fund 12 and Fund 13. 012 and 013.
All righty. Perfect. You have any discussion?
Nope.
You want to go ahead?
Yeah, I would like to make a motion to approve item B and their action items.
I'll second.
Aye.
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 Item C. Presentation, discussion, and possible action of following the superintendent to expand the needed services for Hinefield and Meech. Possible action of allowing the superintendent to expand the needed services for Hinefield and Meech if necessary to help us finish our audit process, get everything in the best possible order. I believe we will be very close with that. We have approved, but if we need some more help, we need to get everything done by November 12th and require one more on-site visit from H&M to help audit the process. We're putting in place to follow the Auditor General's recommendation and correct the findings. I believe if we put a parameter on this anywhere from $1 to $5,000, we need to finish things in a timely manner. I believe we won't go too far over what we've already been approved if we do surpass the amount approved previously. And so just out of curiosity, our total right now, so we start off with like a $5,000, then we did a $10,000, but every time we had some monies carrying over.
Right, and we have those monies carrying over haven't been spent on the next ones. You have quite a bit of money. The only thing is that you've allotted it for, that money's been allotted for certain things. So like when we've allotted money for investigation and checking into the IRS and the training and different things like that, sometimes that will overlap, okay? Right now, I don't feel like we're in danger at this moment of going over. We have the auditor coming back on Thursday and Friday for half a day this week. We are hopeful by noon on Friday that we will be hopefully close to 70% completed with this cap. I said hopeful. So there was quite a bit to do, and we've got to make a lot of adjustments, and she came out and did some training with Donna, and we sat down and worked through things and found the holes that we had, and I would say there was significantly more work to do than we thought at first, so it was not a good time for me to have a family thing come up that I had to leave for. But I know that Donna and Mrs. Elise got a lot of things done here in the last few days. So, you know, we're a lot closer to where we want to be. But we still have work to do with it. One of the things I did talk with the State Auditor General on the phone about was they're looking for us to have made significant progress. So I just, you know, I asked, what does significant progress mean?
You're right.
Well, it depends on how many things you have that are not right. And they said, well, gosh, we could have a lot of things left to correct and still have made significant progress. So, you know, they're going to work with us, and they may give us a little extra time if we need it. What they want to see is that we put the right processes in place. And to me, my whole thing is I want it to be done right. You don't want to spend this kind of money and this much time and
not
all
concluded.
You're trying to do is take care of it and make it look good for now, but in 2 years it's shot again. We want to make sure everything's done right.
Right.
So,
and that's the lowest number we've had, you know, not to exceed another 5,000.
Well,
so that's
for her to come out and spend 2 days with us is about $3,000.
Yeah.
I mean, she was good. She knows her stuff. She's very helpful. Pointing things out, correcting things, helping us work through some of the issues that when things were coded wrong and in different funds and things, she sees all that. So it was very helpful. But if it got to the point where we were going to exceed the 5,000, then I would bring it back to you guys.
Right.
I just if it's going to be, and we need to have her here one day instead of calling you guys in for a 6 a.m. meeting to approve say it's $1,500 over what we had already, I just would like to be able to say, yeah, come on in and we're going to approve it at the next board meeting, but it'll be okay. I'll make sure you guys know what the costs are going to be and everything, but I'm not trying to pull anything, but I want to make sure we get this done. And since our deadline is the 12th, if they extend it for even a week, I just want to make sure that we get it done.
And I'm sure that people probably are curious why it's taken such a lengthy thing, but I always thought that they, in depth, they investigated everything. They do everything randomly. And so then when one thing comes up suspicious, then they go in deep on that. And that's why this unraveled so rapidly, because it was just that one random red alert, you know,
well,
that started the whole thing.
We seriously found, when the auditor was here with me, we were looking, and there were things like we got dinged on things that were with files and stuff.
Right.
Well, the stuff for the 301 plan last year was all here.
Right.
But nobody looked for it.
Mm-hmm.
Or they didn't know where to look for it. So, I mean, we got some dings on there that we shouldn't have got, but we actually had a couple of things that we should have got dinged for that we didn't get.
Before.
So
and so we've never been dinged before. Last year was the first time we ever got a bad audit, ever.
Yeah.
And so hopefully, you know, that won't happen again.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be maybe looking better.
That's why I say
make
sure everything in the process is incorrect.
Right. True story. Lisa, do you want to make a motion on C?
Motion action item C,
mm-hmm.
presentation discussion.
To approve high field meets.
High field meets. Second.
You second?
Yeah.
Okay. Aye.
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 My pen keeps pooping out. Better wasting, not wasting paper. I love that. Okay, item D, presentation, discussion, possible action regarding the approval of the SBA bylaw change in Article 7, oh no, 8. So.
That is, all that basically is going from a 67, or is it 67 or 75% down to a 50% plus one on the voting. And then also tie tag in for you to approve. Last year you had Ms. Horton voted for the board on votes. If you would like to continue that, you could put down that either I or Donna would cast a vote, depending upon if somebody's gone or not. But in all honesty, if you guys think about it, and as we move through the year, one thing I would like for you to think about as a board for next year is that I really think one of our board members should be the legislative person and the person to do that. I think that, you know, if you can do that, and I know it takes some time, and they don't always schedule those legislative meetings at times that are very opportune for all of us. But you get some really good information and you get some good networking and you can get in on some of the different policies that they're going to push and that kind of stuff. So I would recommend that we look at that, at least if not this year, for next year, that maybe one of the board members is interested in doing the voting, but also just being our representative for the legislative meetings, so tying that together. But I would tie both the voting for this. I would recommend that we vote to approve it, because what happens is not all the districts vote, and then if they don't vote, it counts as a no. So, you know, if you get it so that it's over 50%, 67% is high, and maybe 50% plus one is too low. I don't know, but I know they're just trying to lower it so they can actually do something. And one of the big reasons that they said that they have not been able to make changes is because with some people don't vote. And so, you know, if 100 schools don't vote, all of a sudden, now you've got to overcome that. And if you're going to try to get 67%, it's pretty tough when you've got 100 schools that don't vote.
So we can go ahead and approve this without earmarking a legislative representative at this time.
Right. My point, I mean, if somebody wants to do it, I would say that's great. There's not a lot of time. The time would really be in the fall, And as you get through January, by January they pretty much have everything set up with their legislative things. But that, you know, middle of November, December, and beginning of January are the times they would be the most busy. But it is a chance that somebody could get involved and maybe speak to some of the things and see some of the different things, what boards are pushing for. Get our voice out there a little bit for small rural schools and things. But
are these meetings usually a day for?
Yeah, they're not usually any place where we'd want to be at the time in the middle of the week, and they'll be Tuesday or Wednesdays a lot of times. They do try to tie that legislative meeting in on the Friday of the law conference. Mm-hmm. So that's the very first meeting of the legislative. So next fall, that law conference will be Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Probably Phoenix, right?
Yeah, and then on Friday, then they'll have the legislative one. So, I mean, that would make the most sense to me to get, but I wanted to plant that seed that you guys think about it, because if we could get somebody to be involved in that and do the voting, I think it's you're the board. I mean, you know, so, and we'll do whatever you tell us to do, but you're the board. So if one of you wants to do it, more power to you, that'd be great.
So what do you guys think about maybe approving it at this time and then proceeding later on as we approach the necessity of earmarking someone to do it? Is that okay?
I'm okay with that. Yeah?
Okay. Is that okay with Timmy? Is that satisfactory?
I think that would be the best way to do it for right now, because we've already kind of missed some of the early things. But then start thinking as we move forward.
Okay. You guys have anything else on that one? No. Okay, I'm just going to make a motion, ask for a motion to approve the ASB bylaw change of Article 8, and at a later date we'll revisit this and talk about legislative representative as the time approaches. If I could get a second.
I second that.
Reese seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Item E.
Oh, I think that was you included in that motion that Donna or I would vote for you guys this year, correct? That's okay.
That Tim Macklin or Donna Horton cast an affirmative vote for the board in this manner, right?
Okay.
Okay, so I should have clarified that. I didn't want to read that whole thing.
Wrong.
Does anybody want me to read the whole thing? No? If you want to, I will. Okay. All righty. Good job.
All right.
Okay. So now we have E.
Right. First reading of proposed policy change. And this deals with the ability for voluntary transfer of accrued sick leave. And I talked with a few of the teachers, and, you know, one of the things... There are certain rules, and some, you know, anyone on the board could correct me, but what I got from the teachers was that we had a couple of situations come up, and there was a need to, if someone wanted to donate sick leave, to be able to donate that sick leave to a person who became very ill, was a family member or something like that. And then there was someone else who came up and asked for help, and it wasn't approved. And so...
But it wasn't a donator. Is
no,
that...
No, it wasn't approved.
It was a person that asked for days, and it wasn't approved. Not the first one was approved, the second one wasn't approved, if I got that all right. Okay, so there's a couple of things in play, and there's some things that we can look at. This is basically making that formal, and it's the new policy to kind of put some rules and regulations, because I was asked, well, who should regulate it? First of all, it shouldn't be an administrator, and it shouldn't be the school board, a sick leave bank or a sick leave voluntary. It should be a committee of staff members with the superintendent usually, or principal is usually on that committee. But there are certain things that have to be met in order for people to donate sick days. You know, and it says they have to have exhausted their sick leave. They can't have vacation time or compensatory time. Sick leave pay cannot be used for bereavement. It cannot be used for non-complicated maternity leave. In other words, I'm assuming some complication with the baby or like a C-section or something like that. But don't quote me because I'm not a gynecologist or anything like that. But I believe that's where they're going with it, something that would require more than 6 to 8 weeks. But I know there are some other legal things. This pretty much spells out what you can and can't give the leave for and ask for leave for. And so when we started having those discussions, then I reached out to Candy Pardee to talk to her about a lot of different things with leave. And this was one of the things that she sent me. She went through all of our policies, and she said, I really feel like you should add this policy if your employees feel they want this ability to donate leave. And I felt like I didn't talk to every employee. I probably talked to about 15 of the teachers. I specifically talked to the teachers just because I had actually had conversations with a couple of the teachers. But this volunteer, the leave plan would be open to all employees. And it's a little more complicated than just Ms. Rhodes giving a day and Ms. Mott being able to use that day. What happens is Ms. Rhodes can give a day, and then her day is computed on her salary, so the amount of money that's in there. And you have to do it that way, and then it equates out. So if Ms. Rhodes is at 25 years and 3 masters out their way out, and she's making the most money, and Ms. Mott is a green, you know, behind the ears first-year teacher, one of Ms. Rhodes' days might equal 2 of her days almost, right. You know. So it equals out that way. So, like, if I'm an hourly employee, it goes by how much I make a day, and then that's taken just like a teacher's salary per day, and that equates out to how much weight that day off is. It's got to be voluntary. It's got to be something that you can put out a feeler to everybody. They can donate. And then once they donate, then that day is gone from them.
So how do you proceed with that? So this person needs some more sick leave, and they don't have any. So you would put it out there to the staff. Right. Is anybody willing to donate their sick leave to this individual?
I'll give you an example. Just as a hypothetical, we could have, let me use Donna's son. We have someone like Donna's son who is in need of a kidney transplant. And they are a first or second year teacher, and they have 10 sick days. And they get a perfect match for their kidney transplant right now. And they go, and it's a 6-week recovery, say. I don't know, even know how long it would be. Okay, longer than that. But anyway, so they go and have that done, but now they've run out of days. The staff could donate. We would put out a letter, and we could put out a letter and ask. Otherwise, then that person, would have... You would end up having to come up with, you know, they could go take FMLA and pay for their benefits and things like that. But having this available is just one nice thing. There is another thing out there that's possible, and I did talk with a couple of the staff members about it, and that's a sick leave bank where you can actually join the bank. It's very similar to this. It's just that this is... When someone runs out of you put it out to see if anybody wants to give or not.
Is that something you got from Candy, or is that just something you knew thought about on your own?
No, the sick leave bank is something I've known about for a long time. It's just the sick leave bank versus this is this. If you need it, you ask for it. The sick leave bank, when you sign up at the start of the year, you have an option to join and donate 2 days. Generally, is how they're set up. And then once you're in the sick leave bank, you're in the sick leave bank. When the sick leave bank runs out of days, then everybody's asked that's in it to give another 2 days. And that usually takes a few years. But there are the same stipulations apply. Just because I don't feel good today and I've got a headache or stubbed my toe, I can't take 2 days off and get it from the sick leave bank or ask for those. That doesn't work. It's got to be something
significant.
Significant.
Yes.
Do the teachers, they accrue their sick leave?
Teachers accrue sick leave.
Do they carry? Can they keep carrying that over?
Teachers can carry it over.
Do they have a limit?
I don't know if you guys have a limit here. I haven't read anything that says
you can only get a certain amount. You can't get the whole thing. Say if you So say, for instance, if you have $300 of sick, but you could only carry $240. What happens?
No, we can carry
okay,
it over
so you
every
can carry
year.
It. Okay.
Until they retire.
When you retire, you're not allowed to. There's a cap on how much.
How much you can pay out.
Yeah. The sick leave bank, they haven't done this, and that's what I did. At the beginning of the year, I gave 2 years. The only people that can get from that bank are people that donate into that bank.
Right.
Oh, that makes sense.
Okay.
So you can't. You can't pull out unless you put in. It's like a savings.
But what if that person donates time and then they run out of time and something happens with them?
They can still use it from the bank
because they've already donated to the bank.
That's the thing with the sick leave bank is you apply to it.
Right.
You know, and then, again, it can't be something minor. It can't be a day here, a day there. It's, you know.
Something.
Right. If you've got somebody who's using their days all the time, generally they won't give the sick leave bank because they want all their days so they can use it. So it usually ends up, and most of it, I don't know, but I was talking with Ms. Torres or Ms. Rhodes, I don't remember, but one of my, and I was saying, you know, I added up over the years, I think I gave up almost 200 days of sick leave, you know, when I left, but I would rather have been, you know, there than have been sick, because when you're gone as a teacher, it's 2 days worth of work for you to be gone because you have to get twice as much work. And then, you know, so, you know, sometimes we're probably not as healthy coming to work when we don't feel good as we should follow the same thing we tell the kids. But I think this would be a step in the right direction, and it would take what happened before a little bit out of the running as far as I don't feel having an administrator that just says yes or no is right. I think it should be a committee. But you've got rules to follow, so it's not like just because I like her or I like him, I can say yes to them.
It's across the board. And
right.
Since you're talking about, that, say, a teacher makes double than another teacher, right? And do you think, you had that situation, think it would be a good idea to add a bullet on here saying that the employee who takes this donated leave will be paid whatever their salary is or whatever their normal pay.
Right. Yeah. They can.
So that they don't expect to. Okay, I'm going to get the donated leave from this employee who makes.
As far as his pay or his right. Mom. Right. Yeah. No. And that's automatic on our pay system anyway. I mean, if I wanted to bring it to you to have you guys look at it, and then I want to sit down with the staff and go through it with them so they totally understand it. I want to make sure they feel that, you know, the ones I talked to and tried to explain why I would bring this, I got positive feedback from. I think they understand why. I think it's easier if we make it out there and we're transparent about what it is and we have very set things. If there's no, okay, you did that for me, so we're going to make sure we get you a day type of a thing. Or, no, just because, you know, I had to get on Ms. Rhodes today because she wore jeans with holes in them or something. You know, I'm not going to say no to her tomorrow if something happened. I think we take all that out. It's not, you know, it's not subjective at all. It's very objective.
Can you do both? Can you do the bank and the...
You can, but ultimately, I mean, this is just kind of an insurance policy. If something, you know, serious happened to one of our teachers... you know, having this in place is just kind of something that
backup
some
plan.
People might, you know, like Ms. Torres, she might have 4 or 5 days that she doesn't need and somebody needs one. She might be willing to give 2 or 3 days to somebody, you know, and people are good ordered with that if they see somebody in need. Having the bank is nice because now you automatically can sign up for it. And
you can't anticipate, you know.
You never know. Well, it's just like life insurance or health insurance.
Right.
I mean, goodness gracious, if we all knew when we were going to get sick or when we were going to die, it'd be easy. We'll just wait till the week before and then go and buy the insurance. But
what would happen if the employee doesn't use the donated leave? Do they keep it or does it go back to the donator?
Well, all that would happen is that they would have a pot and then say, we have that pot. And
that would carry over,
right? Say Miss Mott needs 3 days, and we had 10 days given. They won't only take 3 days. We still have 7 days sitting there. So that if somebody else needed days, we'd have a pot to draw from. It's a little more record keeping for the business office, but and that pot isn't, like I said, it's not just days because you have to attach dollars to it. So it's a little more complex than just saying 10 days. You know, but
I actually benefited from donated leave when I had my surgeries. So I ran out of my sick, I ran out of my annual, and I'm in the hospital and I can't work.
Right. So it's something similar to this? Tapped in.
Yeah, so then my wife actually had to submit paperwork for me because I'm obviously in bed in the hospital bed. So then it was actually Department of the Army wide. And it was like, here's this person in need. Whoever wants to donate, can you donate? And that's how I was pretty much able to survive. People often donated leave.
That cured you? Yeah. Wow, that's great.
Same thing with maternity leave. Once you run out, you get donated
leave. Oh, really?
Huh. See, with the sick leave bank, a lot of times they have a stipulation in there that you have to go, like, depending upon the school and how you set it up, about 1 day or 2 days without pay before you can get into the sick leave bank. You can set it up however you want, but they usually have it so you run out before you can get it. So, I mean, I think it'd be better just to have it when you run out of leave, you can apply for it if it's a, you know, but that's, Candy's coming on Friday to do a presentation for the staff, and one of the things we're going to talk about is all of that stuff. I've got a few other things to bring up to her, but I just think this would be something fair, something very black and white for the staff. I mean, obviously there's some gray areas, but we would have to have a committee that would sit down if somebody applies for it or whatever, but I think that way it's an open process. It's not like anybody's making that one decision for everybody.
And you've already kind of initiated the communication with the staff, and so there's a first reading, and so you'll continue to inform them
right.
of the process, and then with Candy coming down, and she's probably going to be addressing this also. Not really.
She's going to address things with me on the attendance and all this stuff, because I've had a lot of questions. She's coming to do a due process, harassment, and liability talk for us on Friday so that we can cover everything. And the reason being is we had those new hires coming in, and so we wanted to make sure everybody got it, so we waited till now. Generally speaking, we would do it on opening workshop day, but that didn't pan out this year. So we're going to do it this Friday. And then what I'll do basically after tonight is I'll make a copy of this. I'll get it all to all of the staff members.
Right.
And then I'll put on there, please, if you have any complaints or issues, please see Mrs. Torres, and she'll come. But then we can talk about it at the meeting. So they usually don't go and complain to her, so it works out really nice. If they come and see me, if you don't like it, they come to my office and then get lines.
So I'm recipient of sick days because I was very sick 3 years ago, and I'm very grateful that staff gave days for me.
I
don't perceive that, that's
and
for sure.
Like I said, most of the time, I mean, for some reason, teachers seem to have days and hearts and are willing to get that. I just think it'd be good to have it in black and white, because I know that was one question that I was just like, well, we do have something that we did it kind of fast, and we had someone turned down, but it was only the administrator that made the decision, and I would never want to make that decision, so...
But like even like the sick leave bank cannot be used for non-complicated maternity leave. But if it is a complicated and there's some complication, then that's a different issue, right?
Exactly.
Now this page right here, the last page for certification of physician or practitioner, I can tell you from past experiences that doctors are going to be hesitant to fill out this information because of HIPAA. I think that we need to be a little bit flexible when it comes to this. And give that employee/patient the opportunity to approve this information to be put out on this form. So maybe we could come up with something like that, like a waiver.
I get what you're saying.
But you're saying you don't think that practitioners should be involved?
No, they should.
They should, but sometimes they don't do it because of, like you said, HIPAA violation, because they'll put information here,
right.
But they're not supposed to because it's between
Privacy
and
Act.
Privacy,
and, right. That's true. Good point.
So maybe this is the one Candy sent me. I'll ask her about that. Yeah.
Add a page to this, like a waiver for the employees. That's who's going to be the patient, saying, "Hey, I'm waiving my rights or whatever
to
provide information to the school district."
I'll ask her to give us. I'm sure she's got stuff because this is what she sent me.
That's true, because they didn't make it say anything, you know, really.
Yeah, and then once they have that documentation, the doctors
right.
will be more willing to provide
it. They're covered, and then they're willing to sign. Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, perfect. So we will not be making a decision on E until we go back to our second reading.
Yeah.
And so thank you for that information, because I think that's a great thing there. So that's the final action item. So at this time, we're going to be addressing the superintendent's report.
All right. I've got a few things for you, so no particular order, I guess. Again, looking into policies with Candy, we brought you that policy on particularly GCCG. We're also looking through Einfield and Meech changes processes and fixing policies that need tweaking, policies being how we're doing things in the business office and not policies like GCCG for you, but exactly how we're doing things and the checks and balances in place. So when we get all that done, we'll bring that to you. You'll get the entire corrective action plan after the auditor approves it. And you will, you know exactly what we went through and exactly what we're doing to correct those things. That corrective action plan, we got two audits. The very first one was four issues, and I'm going to come back and address one of those, being the food service. We had two questions on the food service, and then we had two questions on technology. And so we've addressed the technology, food service we've started to address, but we have reached out and found some other information that other schools are doing, and that will help us, and I will address that with you guys here in just a short time. The Southeast Arizona Community Action Group came for Halloween, and I think I heard good things. I didn't hear anything bad. I wish I would have seen their costumes, because they were telling me that they really get into this dressing up. So
and I made the paper.
It was Toy Story. So the board attended a training at Cochise County for ASBA and the state ASBA. I think it was the day after our board meeting last month. It was a good training. We got to listen to the Bisbee, I want to say band, but I don't know if it was their whole band or just an ensemble.
I think it was parts of it.
Yeah. They did. I mean, this is their third year, only their third year that they've had music of anything going on. And the guys got a lot of energy, and the kids, I thought, did a really nice job. We got to sit, like, right in front of the band. Like, that was the band right there. So we were very close and had front row seats. They were good, and they had energy, and he's got a ton of energy. So, hopefully at some point in time, maybe in the future, we'll be able to add some music so we can give our kids a chance when they get to the high school level. Book fair. Jewel will be running a book fair. We'll be getting everything in on December 3rd, and she'll be sending everything back on December 9th. I am not 100% sure of the dates of the... What did you know off the top of your head, Jewel? We talked about, 20 times.
I know. I think it's the second.
Is it the second they're coming? Okay, I wrote down the third, but...
They put it second the ninth so that they would pick it up when you wanted them to pick
okay.
it up.
Okay, I just wanted them to come when you're here.
Yeah.
All right, so our plan is to get it set up, get all the kids to run through it and do a wish list, take that home to the parents, and then let the parents come in and hopefully purchase some books. It worked really well. I mean, where I was last year, we did it. It worked really well. The parents came in and they had very high praises and thank yous for, I'm glad I don't have to come in and figure out what my kid would like to read. So thank you very much for that. And so I thought, okay, heck, we're going to try it. And so hopefully that'll work. I believe it's tomorrow. We have the Ronald McDonald Dental Lab here for the first day for dental exams for students. The state rating came out. I gave you guys a copy of it in the colored format there. I talked with a couple of staff members. I didn't get a chance to talk with many because today was my first day back. We got a D rating.
I think we were D. We were C,
C last
year.
Well, but you remember, it's always a year behind. So,
right.
we were a D, and I honestly, when I saw that we had 13.85% of our students pass the test the year last year, I kind of thought we'd be lower than a D. So, I mean, I wasn't shocked that we got a D, but I think that hopefully we're headed in the right direction and the kids are taking things serious and or more seriously now. We've had some different things going on, and we've been working hard on trying to get the English and all that. But, you know, I think when the staff gets a chance to maybe digest the numbers a little bit, a D is not good, obviously, but I think we can make some progress. So that's our goal.
So they've changed the instrument. At one point, they weren't doing the ABCD. They were doing performing or underperforming. And so this is a whole different thing.
Right, you know? And then when they turn around and change the test in 2 years, then we'll go right back to it. And the state is pretty much booked into, they're going to either go with ACT or SAT for the older kids.
I think just overkill with the testing.
And don't know what they're going to do with the younger kids. And the problem is that you have to take a test for about 3 years until you get data that's decent enough to use. So if they switch tests for the young kids, we're basically going to have 3 years of, I guess, in my college, because we really won't have much to go by. So we're trying to assess whatever we're testing to what we had tested on, and those numbers probably won't jive very well. So it'll be interesting that they're putting RFPs out, and we should know. Sounded like February or March, so a pretty good idea. Next Wednesday, we have a meeting in Tucson, and we're involved in improving community and school engagement. We've put together a group of teachers and staff. I still need to get a community member that can go. I'm going to work on that this week. It was a really good meeting that I was at about a month ago, and it's a good way to leverage and get, if we can get the community and the parents involved, our kids are going to be more successful. That's just goes to Sam, and everybody sees that. Again, that's just one step, you know, going with the more English in school, and some of the other things are other steps that we're trying to take. I would say we've had an interesting first 11 weeks. We have a few students who've tried and tested, myself and staff members. But I honestly believe we're headed in the right direction. We had a kind of a tough day today. We had some kids who have made some pretty tough decisions, and so we had some long, hard discussions today. But I had staff members come up to me at the end of the day and tell me that they had got more out of those kids that I had visits with this morning than they've gotten out of in a long time. So hopefully we're heading in the right direction with that. I also want to just thank the board and all of our employees. You know, when I had to leave this week at kind of short notice and throw everything together, you never know what's going to go on and what's going to happen. It's weird being out there when you don't even have internet, really. I was very appreciative for all the help. So thank you guys all very much. It was very much appreciated. The last thing that I have for you deals with that school lunch that I talked about. The one thing that we're still going to get dinged on is that the state has said either we need to find a way to increase the money we bring in for lunch, because we raised it $1. We either need to bring in more money or we need to cut time. So Sally and I sat down and we talked about some different things. She reached out and got some different things from other schools, Palominos and some other schools do some things. And one of the things that we found that a lot of schools are doing is they're reaching out and they're either charging more for salad bar, but then you need to put out a full salad bar, or they're not having salad bar. They also are charging for milk. Students who bring their lunches from home right now, if they go up and they want a milk, they get a milk. And most places they charge 50 cents. If they want a second milk and they buy their meal, they get a second milk with their meal. If they want a second milk and they didn't buy their meal, they pay another 50 cents. Right now, if somebody wants to go up to the salad bar and they brought their lunch from home, Sally lets them go up to the salad bar. So she'll have to charge, what we looked at in the other schools, she'll have to charge a dollar for that. If they come up and they want seconds, most schools are charging between 50 cents and a dollar for seconds. And if somebody doesn't buy a lunch and they want a corn dog, they're charging 50 cents to a dollar for that corn dog. One of the recommendations that they make is that if you can bring in just some extra funding there, you pay for the wages of the people you're using. We've saved money in the cafeteria. We've cut down some hours. We've cut benefits.
They were recommending letting somebody go, really.
They recommend.
As what they're recommending.
What their push was to go down to two people and get rid of the salad bar.
And they don't understand that there's only three people in there, right? Yeah.
There's different ways. You can move the hours around and squeeze the hours a little bit. And, there's some things we can do with that.
Now, what do they mean? Like, they were talking about that we need to start addressing commodities.
Right.
And
we
so
need to order commodities. If you order commodities, you can get the commodities from the government at a better
reduced
price
rate, right?
Than if you're going to go buy from,
So what does Sally think of that?
They're using buying through commodities.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And so what is our percentage now of kids that are fully on the reduced or free lunch program? It's like 98%?
92. So Sally and I, we talked about it. I put this little kind of letter together just, talking about we're going to go down to 2 days a week for salad bar, Tuesdays and Thursdays. We'll have salad bar on Fridays if we have anything left over from salad bar on Thursday. But that'll save us some labor costs there. For charging for seconds, it would be a dollar. Or if they want the corn dog or piece of pizza and they brought their lunch from home, it would be a dollar. The milk would be 50 cents.
And we used to have parents coming to have lunch with their children. So that still happens?
If they come in and they eat,
they pay.
We have people coming in and for breakfast with the kids, but generally the adults don't eat, just the kids eat.
Right.
But if the adults eat, they pay the adult price.
Right.
So, I guess the thing is if a student gets free and reduced lunch and they bring a lunch from home but they decide they want a corn dog, they can go through the line and get a free and reduced lunch too. The reason I want to let parents know about this is because obviously if you've got I'll be stereotypical, but you've got a son who eats a lot and he wants to go back for that second corn dog or chicken or whatever, he wants to go up there and do that, it's going to be a charge each time. So we want to make sure the parents know. And then we'll put a sign up on here so the parents can say, yes, they can have seconds, or no, they can't have seconds.
Oh.
And then we'll have them bring it back.
So even if it's a free and reduced, let's say it's a student who normally eats free, they go back for seconds, they are going to get charged.
Four seconds.
Oh, so if they're on free and not reduced, they have to pay on the second.
For seconds, they'll have to pay.
So now, what about, because before it was always mandatory that they got like a piece of fruit, and typically half that fruit went in the garbage.
Yep.
Is that still the case?
Sally does some things to try to conserve things, but
right.
We don't talk about those at an open board meeting.
Yeah.
You
can't force them.
We try to save money when we can, but yeah,
right.
They have to get fruit and vegetable. Now,
so it's not optional. You can't.
They have so many colors each month.
Right.
So it's not even just fruits and vegetables.
The rainbow.
You have so many oranges and so many greens and so many reds, and it's just like stupid. But,
yeah.
Who comes up with the types of food
that comes up with the menus?
Yeah, the menus.
Sally, but she will go through like whatever there is to order. But the food has changed a little bit, I'm guessing, because of the commodities instead of being able to order some of the special things that I'm sure they were able to order before.
You see, my kids were going to school here. They had like a muffin for breakfast that had all the nutrients in the muffin. Remember that? That they needed. You know, and so I don't know if Sally still does that. Because muffins, kids love muffins, you know.
I know they have cereal every morning, and I don't know about muffins. I go through their plan.
It used to be like a power or something muffin that had all everything in there that you need for your nutrients for the day type thing. But I don't remember what that was.
I don't know. To me, it's just like whatever the kids will eat and then something that's nutritious. I'm all for it because... Mm-hmm.
And like they love cucumbers and things like that.
Oh my goodness gracious!
Yeah.
You could go through 3 million cucumbers.
Yeah, that's true.
They do. They just seriously will eat.
They do.
Little kids will eat like 2 containers of cucumbers at lunch.
Even like the oranges, they used to love them, but they like putting chili powder on them. You know.
You remember? The purpose of an orange, but hey, it was a little kid.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'll get that, and we're going to get that out. Our goal is to get it out this week, and then we'll give it them until after Thanksgiving. We started probably December 1st. So if you get a call from somebody that gets a letter, you'll know what it's about. But that's all in trying to not have to make drastic changes to the way the kitchen's lined up.
I think the problem that we're going to have is if so much food gets thrown away at the end of lunchtime, then why are we charging for seconds? If you're going to throw it away anyways, why are you charging us for seconds?
Okay, the rules are, like, if you three were sitting at a table and John and Brisa didn't want to eat their corn dog and you are hungry, you can get their corn dog. But we can't take it from them and give it to you. They have to give it.
Has to be an agreement between
them. Yeah, they have to give it to you, yes.
And most people fight over corn dogs.
So,
you know,
I guess at one time that people would, you know, the people that were working would take things that the kids weren't eating and give them to the kids that wanted more. So now the kids have to give it to the other kids.
Well, what about, like, if kids, let's say, just at the Abilene, for example, is their tray literally the kids are responsible to dump their tray out in the garbage, right?
Yeah, in a perfect world, that happens.
Yeah. And so is there a way that we could have like a bin that if there's something is untouched, milk, apples, things that are not contaminated?
Yeah, that would be one of the things I wouldn't talk about in a meeting, but there's some things that they do to preserve and conserve.
Right. I'm just curious.
Yeah, so
I'm not going to, I don't have I'm not
like
recording
that. Happen, but I wouldn't be
yesterday was the first day we didn't have salad bar, and I had duty. I loved it because they eat more of their food on the plate, but they know they can go to the salad bar. They don't want to eat what's there. They want to go get...
Oh, they want to load up on cucumbers.
Yeah,
true. Oh, so that's good. So they really ate more of their lunch when the salad bar wasn't there.
If they were dressing in a milk carton, they probably...
It's true. Pizza, you name it, yeah.
So, yeah, no. And then, you know, we do, I mean, the custodians have the big bucket, and they go up and down the aisles, and, I mean, the kids literally only have to turn around. But I'm saying, it, you know, there are some of them that if they got 50% of the garbage, we're lucky. You know, I mean, it's just some of them are really bad shots. I don't know how we can win any basketball games, but we can't make a layup with the garbage. So I guess the last thing I would say is we've had a couple of meetings. Mrs. Olmos and I have had a few different meetings. She had one when I was gone, working on trying to organize parent groups. We're trying to also use and utilize the wellness center. We have some ladies from Bisbee who are willing to come down and help with tutoring. I haven't hit up the staff yet, but one of the things we're talking about is trying to have a tutoring day maybe here on maybe Mondays. And this was just Mrs.
Are you talking about during school hours or after school?
After school.
Oh, okay.
After school hours. And then they're going to do, and then we would try to have a snack and some tutoring. And then similar over in the wellness center, they do that on Wednesdays over there. They have a snack and they have tutors. And the tutors only speak English, so that's kind of nice. And then there's some different activities going on that Tom Carlson has worked with and gotten some things started. But we're in the infancy stages, I would say.
Yeah,
it's a while. But it's... I think ultimately, it's like anything else. If you do it right, then it'll be good. And so I think we have some interest. I think that we can get some things done. And and have a positive impact, but...
Are you calling it a PTO?
No.
Oh, you're not?
We don't know what we're going to call
it. Oh, we don't have a name yet?
No.
Yeah. And so what? How is it happening? Because I know when my girls were here, there used to be really a huge, attendance on PTO or parent. I think they called it something else then too.
It was PTO.
Huh?
I'm pretty
sure
it was PTO.
Yeah.
It was parent teacher
committee. Committee, right? And then it just kind of started waning, you know. So.
Normally, when do you guys have your meetings?
We're going to have the meetings on the second or third Wednesday at 5:30, and there we're going to work with Mr. Rodriguez. And because they're doing tutoring over there, we need with English, some of the parents will go over there with their kids, and then we'll also do it here. And we're going to do it via webcam so that we can have everybody attend so they can be with their kids that are in a tutoring session, and we can do it.
And where's tutoring at now?
They're doing it at the Wellness Center and the others over at Naco, Sonora. And we want to do it on Mondays here so we can have two different tutoring sessions. But the whole, it's a little more in-depth than we first envisioned and started talking about.
More complicated.
It is.
And then I think at one point it ended up being kind of like just money for like graduation.
Yeah, we talked
about
that.
But the whole goal
too
was about eighth grade graduation, you know. But and I don't know if you saw in the news, there's some woman there had like some PTO in another state, and literally the woman was putting all the money under her mattress, and they couldn't figure out where all the money was going.
Well, they had a huge Scottsdale, I think it was. It was one of the suburbs up there. I believe it was Scottsdale.
Mm-hmm. I bet Scottsdale really brought in some money.
Thousands and thousands of dollars.
I know.
The PTO, the leadership all quit.
Yeah.
And when they turned everything over, they were like, I want to say it was like over 50 grand. Maybe.
Yeah, it was a bunch.
It happened in Sierra Vista too, but it wasn't 50 grand. But the PTO.
Well, Scottsdale's a big money place, you know, so.
Yeah, so wow. I mean we're getting there. We'll try to give you an update each month of where we're at. But we're gonna have our first meeting. I just don't remember.
November 13th.
And having your kids, that's pretty admirable of you to attempt such a feat.
Yeah,
so good luck with that.
I would err on the side of caution when we're having meetings in Naco, Sonora. I don't think staff from the school shouldn't be going over there.
Especially what happened today, last couple of days in Douglas.
I believe we can do it via the
yeah, have it here, and then if parents want to log in.
Did something happen here, too? I heard about Douglas.
We had something in Nogales. We had something over
outside of Douglas. Big killing.
It's just all over, and I think we're going to make sure.
You still don't know when it's going to go down, though, you know.
Right.
So I remember high-speed chases going past the school here, you know, trying to install in cars and stuff.
Yeah,
when I was up in San Jose, there were a few that went by.
What I'm trying to say is if we do the whole Skype thing, we don't care where they're logging in from.
Exactly.
As far as I'm concerned, is that they're logging in from home here in the Naco, Arizona side.
All right.
Yeah.
That's not safe.
All we need to do is we need to just get a login for them, and then they've got a way to log in, we've got a way to log in.
And that's the hard thing here, right?
Right, and that, I mean, I guess I'm looking at it like then when if Mrs. Olmos is at work, she can take a 15-minute bathroom break and go out and, you know, webcast herself right into the meeting, and we're okay, we're good to go, you know, so. But, yeah, we don't, besides that, to get back across the border is like murder.
Forget
if you drive. So I'm getting used to walking back, but that's all right.
You're going over there?
No, I did twice. Once I went to the pharmacy, and that was...
For personal reasons.
Yeah, there you go.
You might want to call Mr. Almost to go for a walk with you, you know?
One question.
Yes,
do you know what's going on with the people that are taking days off with no leave, no...
That's something Candy and I are going to go through on Friday. The other thing is there is a possibility. I've got a couple things I'm going to talk to her about. We may have to have a special meeting this month. But until I know, I won't know. So I will let you know, and then we'll get it published a week ahead anyway. So.
Okay.
So just to make sure that we've got everything. But yeah, that's an issue. That was one of the things, you know, Candy said with this leave policy, if it's somebody and it's a legitimate reason, this would help. But the people that we're having problems with missing work are not extended leaves. It's, you know,
sporadic.
A day here, half a day
I think
there.
If we approve this soon,
right, that's not for
then they're not going to have an excuse.
Exactly. So then that's one of the things is since it's been allowed to happen here, we will make a motion and we will put something in place with the board, whatever you approve of. But we'll get something put together because that's the way to break past practice. I mean, all you need to know is misuse of public funds, and when you hear that, that's a big ding, 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 ding. We don't want to hear.
Yeah,
so,
scary.
We get enough emails from the Auditor General talking about schools that did bad things. So,
I know. Anything from the Auditor General is not a happy story ever.
No,
you know.
No. So, but other than that, I think that's it. And if you have any questions for me,
I don't have anything. Y'all?
No.
Okay. So I just don't know when that'll be, but it's a very good chance that we'll have a special meeting coming up this month.
Okay. We will keep an ear open for that. So that concludes your superintendent's report?
Yes.
Thank you. Good job. Item 6, we have anything further? We'll just say tentative. We have a possible special meeting coming up. Other than that, we'll see each other the first Tuesday of December.
December 3rd.
Okay, December 3rd. Alrighty. Okay, and so with that said, I'd like to adjourn at 6:32.
I'll second that.
That was fast. Ayes?
Aye.
Oh yeah, let's turn this bugger off.